Welcome to Colliers Talks, a podcast series featuring the latest trends, insights, research, and developments in commercial real estate in Canada and beyond.
Welcome to our latest episode of Colliers Talks. In this episode, we're going to focus on downtown rejuvenation in Vancouver and Calgary. Downtown vibrancy and success partly stem from the amount of commercial and employment activity in the area, particularly the office market. So today, we're going to explore Calgary and Vancouver's unique and similar challenges and opportunities in the pursuit of vibrancy and long-term success. I'm Susan Thompson, the Associate Director of Research at Colliers in Vancouver, where I focus on data, analytics, and commentary on local and national leasing, sales, and occupancy trends in the commercial real estate sector. Today, I'm joined by Eric Adernick and Tom Mahler. Eric is a registered professional planner with Metro Vancouver. Over the past two decades, Eric has worked in the public and private sectors focused on planning policy, real estate development, and consulting. Eric also teaches urban planning courses for both planners and other city building professionals at various institutions. Tom has served in various managerial roles in the City of Calgary's planning department, where he was responsible for long-term planning, development review, and land use applications. Tom has also practiced in southwestern Ontario and BC's Lower Mainland. And now he's currently the director leading the City of Calgary's Downtown Strategy Team, which is responsible for stewarding the city's $400 million investment to build a thriving, future-focused downtown. Thank you both for joining us today for this episode of Colliers Talks. Let's get started here. Eric, let's start with you. How would you characterize the current status of Vancouver's downtown core in terms of vibrancy and commerce? And what are the main challenges we're facing here in Vancouver?
Sure. Thank you very much, Susan. I'm glad to be talking about this important topic. Downtown Vancouver is certainly the largest office market in the region, Metro Vancouver, but it's also important to recognize there's 20-some other municipalities in total with 26 urban centers, all with different types and scales of downtowns, if you want to call them that. It's important to recognize for downtown Vancouver, it's a little bit unique compared to other North American markets. Considerable population lives in the downtown and close to the downtown, which provides for quite a bit of vibrancy. In terms of transportation, the number of people using transit, for example, compared to other jurisdictions, is quite a bit higher and has recovered quicker from COVID drop. And then also, it's also worth recognizing that our vacancy rate for office buildings, again, compared to some other markets, is not nearly as high. So overall, Without comparing it to every single city on the continent, it's quite positive, relatively speaking.
Okay. And Tom, how about Calgary? How would you characterize your downtown core?
Well, it's at a very interesting point in its evolution. I'd characterize it as some things that are very good and some things that are good. On the very good side, one of the positive things that's happened is our office market has stabilized. And while our vacancy rate is high, we have a 30% approximately vacancy rate still. The fact is we are the preeminent office market in Southern Alberta. We have 45 million square feet of inventory. So even at 30% vacancy, it means we have 30 million square feet of occupied office inventory. And we have very high return to work rates compared to some other cities. We're doing very well in that regard. So the overall vibrancy, when you come to downtown Calgary midweek, it's actually doing quite well. But as the work from home trends are, we're still, you know, Mondays, Fridays tend to be a lot slower. And so that's still one of our challenges is while retail and hospitality was very tied to our office market in past, lunch hour crowd was a booming sector. Now it's down to a smaller market share for fewer days a week. So our real job in downtown Calgary now is how do we stretch out the business vibrancy by adding new uses and new mixes to our downtown core, because office, we don't anticipate it to grow substantially in the short term, that's for sure. So we have to rely on other mechanisms for extending the value of our retail, hospitality. I would note our hotel and tourism has come back very strong post-pandemic. So hotel occupancies are doing very well. And so that's another bright spot for downtown Calgary at this time.
Well, that's a great lead into my next question, which I'm going to throw over to actually, you already answered it for Calgary there, Tom, so I'm going to throw it to you, Eric. Return to office, how much of a part does that play in the success of downtowns, particularly here in Vancouver?
When I did a comprehensive inventory and report for Metro Vancouver, looking at the inventory of buildings in the region with an effective date of late 2022, I also did about 40 or so informational interviews with developers, brokers, real estate agents, various other people as well, and get a sense of sort of their feel about the return to work and not. Kind of like Tom mentioned, there's a increasing uptick in terms of people attending work on the Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, less so on the Mondays and Fridays, which is something we continue to see. It was also interesting to learn about the actual data that's available to track people going to work and not, aside from HR records. For example, property managers having data about fobs or elevator lifts and door accesses for buildings, providing some indication of activity. But a lot of that data and measures are only available since COVID started. So there's not really a baseline to compare current occupancy compared to pre-COVID. The one exception, though, is for commercial buildings that have a parkade. Often that data in terms of parking facility usage was available. So I think overall, it's increasing. To what degree it will be back to normal or some new hybrid back to newer, more normal version, that I don't think will ever fully be answered until after the fact.
Continuing on that trend, Vancouver's current office vacancy is the highest we've ever seen, or it's the highest we've seen in 20 years. But let's put that in some perspective. Vancouver versus other cities downtown, how does this compare? Eric?
Yes. Well, some other cities, for sure, they have had some vacancy rates of the 30% or so, including in the United States. I don't think the situation here is nearly as dire than that. Certainly, we're seeing a pause in some new office buildings coming to market. Recently, there were some completed earlier this year. That's sort of the last bucket of them, if you will. Many of those projects were initiated before COVID. In terms of what that means, there's certainly some, it's often said, sort of flight to quality, if you want to call that, where different tenants are moving around and there's more opportunities for that. And as I'm sure you could elaborate on, looking at the data in more detail, the vacancy rates vary by geography as well as by asset class. But overall, certainly it's different than it was pre-COVID during some real tech booms, but it's not the end of the world.
Yes, I know from looking at our recent reports, downtown's currently around 12% vacancy, but that's still considered relatively healthy anywhere in North America. That's one of the lower downtown office vacancy rates. But again, it's that 20% or, you know, 20-year high for Vancouver. So it's putting it in that perspective of it feels very high if you're not experienced in the market. But as soon as you start to put it in that North American context and long term, it's not as bad. And there's all the reason to believe we'll recover fairly quickly. Now, Calgary is obviously very different. And being from Calgary, it's very near and dear to my heart. And it's been facing elevated vacancy tied to the oil and gas sector, you know, dating back to 2014, 2015. So now all of a sudden, it's not all of a sudden anymore. This has been a long time coming. Office conversions to residential has been a really hot topic. And how's this working out, Tom?
Well, so far, so good. When we started our discussion around office conversions back in 2018, I think was when we really got serious about it. People actually started talking about it in 2014 when the oil price crashed. But we waited, you know, there's a period of 3 or 4 years where we waited for the boom to come back. So nobody really took it that seriously. However, it was never going to happen without some financial contribution from the municipal government. All the metrics that we had done at the time still showed these projects just did not pencil out and provide an adequate return based on the risk involved in converting an office building into residential. So we worked heavily with our real estate sector to come up with the right number that was going to be substantial enough to actually move the needle on making an investment decision on some of these properties. So we now have our number we're currently using is we have about 17 projects that are currently either approved or in our pipeline. At 17 discrete office buildings, and it's in the neighborhood of converting up to 2.3 million square feet of office into residential use, which is about 2,300 units. So in terms of a program, that incentive that we put out to the market has definitely created a market for this. And we like to say around Calgary, we actually have a new asset class. Office buildings aren't even evaluated as much as a potential office building. When they go onto the market, they're another potential asset class. Is this a residential? And I'll also throw out hotel conversion. We also have one hotel conversion that we funded. So that part of our program is going very well.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. But Eric, I'm going to throw the flip side question to you. Could we see conversions in Vancouver? I know there's a couple of proposed small scale office to hotel, and there's a couple of specific buildings that are looking at large scale conversions and expansions. The Hudson's Bay building comes to mind. But what could we see in Vancouver, and what are the considerations around conversions here?
Yeah, I've got that question a number of times from various people. I think they look at the Calgary experience and wonder if it could apply elsewhere in North America or here. I don't see it happening to nearly the same degree. Certainly, there's some unique one-off properties where there might be an opportunity to mix the use, repurpose a property, or redevelop, or perhaps there's a heritage component as well. But even my familiarity with what's going on in Calgary and explorations elsewhere, it really has to be a right match in many senses, in terms of one might say a poor or challenged office market where the value of that asset has declined, strong residential demand. We certainly face that here as well, but also a building that is at the right place and residential is the appropriate use in that district. And certainly a building that still has the right form and shape, and particularly the floor plate, in order to convert from office, which has different needs in terms of functionality or amount of windows. So I think we could keep our eyes open for that. There may be a few examples of some perhaps B-class buildings doing that, but I certainly don't expect it in a wider than that scenario. I do, while we're talking about it, I do point out there may be the possibility in more of the suburban locations for some older suburban office parks to actually be converted to perhaps light industrial, noting that we have a very much a shortage of industrial lands and space in the region.
Very interesting. So we've just spent a bit of time talking about the differences between Calgary and Vancouver, but I'd love to hear, do you think there's any similarities between these two markets? Are we competing in some ways? So are Calgary and Vancouver competing for companies and talent in ways? Tom, what do you think about that?
Well, it's a great question. I lived in Vancouver for a while, over 20 years ago, and I sometimes like to say, you know, Calgary's probably about 20 years behind Vancouver in terms of amenitizing its downtown to be a real high quality of life as a destination for working, living, and for travel. And so I think the similarity to Calgary and Vancouver to me is I think we're going after a similar dynamic behind the kinds of companies that might choose our cities as locations. And that is an emphasis on quality of life and an emphasis on amenity. We're not, you know, in Calgary's case, we're not located on the Eastern Seaboard where you have access to these huge metropolitan populations. We rely on the locational amenities of our city and proximity to the Rocky Mountains, proximity to a quality of lifestyle, affordable housing, I think leads us to go after similar types of companies. So certainly our diversification efforts away from, I wouldn't say away, in addition to oil and gas, is certainly in the tech space. So we are going after companies for tech, but we're also expanding now also into something Vancouver's been very good at, and that is looking at the entertainment arts, which includes movie production, esports, and digital gaming, et cetera. All those are now elements which we're definitely, I think, playing in the same space.
And Eric, how about you? Do you see any similarities or competition between Calgary and Vancouver?
Well, I think the short answer would be I don't see too much direct competition. Certainly there are different provinces, different economies and focuses. You mentioned the oil and gas sector, which has ups and downs, and you're trying to diversify with different growth aspects in terms of tech, digital, or media, or post-production, or those types of things. Vancouver does not have, in the same degree, a dominant sector, if you will. So a lot more smaller tenants, smaller businesses, more diversified, if you will, so that there's fewer ups and fewer downs that are drastic and a more steady demand for space. In terms of the types of sectors that are drawn here or being attracted, certainly, as somewhat as mentioned by Tom as well, we're trying to attract, and has already occurred, tech sectors and various different types. Also, there's a relationship to media and film and entertainment production, sort of the Hollywood North aspect of things. So I think there's room to grow in both markets.
What part or role do head offices make in the dynamics of a local office market? And how is it playing into the situation that we're dealing with?
Yeah, it's still really important in downtown Calgary, in our downtown office market. And the fact we are a head office market, right? I don't know what the total number is now, Susie, you might even know more. I think we're still over 120 head offices. But it's the large head offices and the concentration of head offices. What that does is it brings in all of the supporting services for a head office. So that includes your legal services, your financial services, your human resources services, consulting, which makes it very attractive to small companies. So when we are trying to attract tech companies or startup companies, all of that ecosystem is available for anybody to access. And that's one of the things we've heard for small tech startups. Downtown Calgary is an attractive location for them because all of the supporting services are there for them. So it's really important from us, and being a smaller market in general, to have that head office base is still a very important component. Head offices are also great for supporting things like restaurants, hospitality, business travel, and those components that will add to the amenities that will appeal to employees, but also residents and tourists.
Yeah, and I know that makes up a big part of the market, just being such a headquarter capital in Western Canada, which, Eric, Vancouver traditionally hasn't had as many large companies or headquarters here. How does that affect the dynamics of the office market?
Yes, correct, Susan. Compared to other regional markets in North America and certainly in Canada, we have proportionally fewer headquarters. And it's important to note, when I say headquarters, I mean both corporate number of headquarters as well as associated jobs. So there is an impact on that. Most major cities are always wanting to attract and grow headquarters in their presence because of the associated things in terms of better paying jobs, secondary aspects in terms of legal firms, advertising, other resources that go into it, as well as the contribution by those major employers to the sort of ecosystem of the economy, as well as sometimes philanthropy and other research and development aspects that are positive there. It's certainly a reality that we have here, those headquarters here. But the flip side, as I mentioned earlier, it does mean for smaller companies, but a wider and more diverse kind of environment so that there's somewhat less fluctuation going up and down in a rapid way. That noted, there can be some criticism about the fact of having a very diversified market, which some people might call a fragmented market in terms of different sectors in our region.
Yeah, so on one side, we've got a market that's highly concentrated on a single sector, whereas in, such as Calgary, whereas in Vancouver, it's highly fragmented. So there's no one single industry that we pin our economy on. So I feel like the balance is somewhere in between, but that could be an entire debate. So let's pull this back to obviously urban revitalization and downtown vibrancy here. So Tom, your major focus here with the downtown strategy in Calgary is around the $400 million investment into improving the downtown core. So what are the priorities for those funds?
Yeah, so I'll start off by saying our original ask to council, we asked for $200 million back in 2021 was our first ask, but we said we needed about $1 billion to make a measurable difference in the downtown. So since our initial approval back in April of 2021, when we got $200 million, council and subsequent budgets has now increased their investment. This is city council only investment of $400 million towards my initiative. In addition to that, council continues to invest in our East Village, our Rivers District area, which our Municipal Land Corporation, Calgary Municipal Land Corporation has. And they have a similar scale of capital investment. And I think the most important thing for me to get across in this investment is It's a stated investment by the city that our council believes in our city and that we are investing money to transform our downtown to be a more diverse and more resilient place. Our particular $400 million allocation is going really to three principal pillars. And one is that conversion of office space to other uses. So it's not just residential, it includes tourism, hotels. It includes post-secondary institutions. We have a stream around that to try and bring our post-secondary institutions into our downtown core, and then also into affordable housing. We even have a little bit allocated towards demolition. And the purpose behind the demolition incentive is to potentially create sites for redevelopment or for other amenities such as open space. So that's one factor. The other big area is on capital investments. We have $163 million for capital investments in public open space. That includes parks like Olympic Plaza. It includes investments in streetscape revitalization, parks renewals, and also in arts and cultural facilities. So some of our money also went to Arts Commons, which is our major performing arts center in our city. And so that project is also underway. And then the third stream is around broad bucket, we call it programming, but that includes generally activating the downtown for two purposes. One, for things to do, to draw people into the downtown core, but also safety is an ongoing concern, as it is in many North American cities. So our money does go to safety initiatives to support the efforts of a lot of our nonprofits and our business improvement areas to address safety issues in the downtown core. And then we have a small fourth pillar, and that's just to run our organization. We are a separate business unit that was structured by the city specifically around downtown revitalization. And so that includes funding for my team as well.
No, fantastic. And let's continue that investment conversation in Calgary, because I'm sure there's a few people that would love to hear a little more about this. The new Calgary Arena project has started moving forward again. So what role can that play in boosting downtown vibrancy?
So I think a big part of it is it's not like we don't have a major arena in our downtown core already. And what's interesting is this is really a replacement of an existing one. So it's not adding necessarily a net new facility, but what it does is it's modernizing that venue in order to attract a much more diverse range of activities. So that's why we call it an event center, not an arena, because what the current arena wasn't able to do was to track major concerts. It's centered within our cultural and entertainment district that we're trying to diversify. So not being able to attract those major concerts was a big challenge. And so the other thing that investment is doing is now drawing investment in the cultural and entertainment district for other things like hotel, like hospitality. And then we're reinvesting in the infrastructure in and around that area, all in service of expanding and enhancing the amount of destination traffic that we have into the downtown core. So it's really, I like to call it an and, it's not an or. Every major city requires a venue of some nature that can draw those types of facilities. If that's missing from your ecosystem, it's tough to attract conferences, it's tough to attract headquarters, it's tough to attract residents without the guarantee that those types of amenities are going to be available to them.
It's probably safe to say that any large-scale urban revitalization strategy requires partnership and cooperation. So, Eric, what do you think are the important roles at play in urban revitalization?
Thank you, Susan. Well, it's important to recognize that City of Vancouver and Metro Vancouver are separate organizations. So the city would be responsible for particular initiatives to enhance their downtown. But I think overall, we can certainly say we're wanting to focus the activity into urban centers. As I mentioned earlier, there's 26 of them in the region. There's different levels and different attributes and different scales for the downtown, being by far the dominant one for the region in terms of activity, but office market as well, which you're speaking about. Focusing employment, jobs, office space, that means not only are people going there taking transit in terms of mode share, but also shopping and doing other activity while there. I've also heard again from some of the informational interviews I've done where it's really wanting to earn the commute of employees so that they want to go to the office, don't have to. And if that's the case, well, then why are they going to go to work? Why are they going to go downtown? Because it's safe, attractive, other destinations while they're there. So it's the whole sort of package. And again, Vancouver is a little bit unique with a significant amount of population living close to the downtown core who could literally walk to that kind of location. So there's a lot of different aspects to this, and I think it varies by city in terms of whether it's within our Metro Vancouver region or Vancouver to Calgary or other jurisdictions, but really a local response is part of that. And the last point I'd sort of make in terms of, again, informed by my informational interviews, was for businesses that do want to be active in those areas, whether they're developers in terms of the approval process for projects or tenants who need permits for occupancy. I've heard from a number of landlords and representatives that if that process could be made a little quicker, they'd appreciate it.
Yeah, let's continue on that thought on Metro Vancouver, because while Vancouver's downtown is the main office market in the region, nearly half of the office stock is in other places around the region in Metro Vancouver. So how would you characterize the office market in terms of activity in cities or locations outside of downtown core?
Sure, you're quite correct, Susan. Certainly Vancouver is the dominant one, and about half of the stock is in the city of Vancouver, most of which being in the Metro core. The other urban centers, Metrotown, downtown Richmond, downtown Surrey, Coquitlam, are entirely more modest, shall we say, but growing in different ways. I think one point which I've seen in terms of the stats where the vacancy rate is reported to be higher in Metro core is in part reflective of the fact that there's been new office supply that came to that market in the last year or so, versus the suburban ones, there hasn't been as much growth. So adjusting for that in terms of looking at a stable environment for those places, the vacancy rate overall is healthy, I would say, for most parts. In order to elaborate on that, I might point out a few things. Given that those markets are quite small, a extra building or not, or a medium-sized tenant coming or going can have a fairly big impact on some of those reported stats. And certainly moving forward, there are municipalities that do want to have, beyond the Vancouver ones, that do want to have for their own community a office component in their downtown or city center. And there can be a challenge for that. Sometimes a developer is building a project or a mixed-use development, and they are encouraged by the city to include an office component. If the developer feels that the office market is not strong enough or deep enough for that, there may be a challenge there. Or sometimes they do build an office component, and it, rather than it being sort of a corporate office tenant, it's more likely a local survey kind of office occupant, such as medical or lawyer or some other thing that serves a growing population. Over time, those markets will grow, but that may be the situation for the near term.
Okay. And Tom, I'll throw this question to you first, but Eric, feel free to chime in when and where you need to. Is it fair to say that planners are trying to develop a more diversified downtown core that blends more residential, office, and commercial, entertainment, so that whole live, work, play spectrum? Why is that type of downtown fabric important or necessary, and what helps to achieve that?
Yeah, great question, Susan. And I'd say it's not just the planners that are talking about that. In fact, the biggest driver for Calgary to diversify our downtown is to make it stronger and less susceptible to shock. Because our downtown core is such a huge part of our property tax base, and it helps pay for all of the services that Calgarians enjoy citywide. So what we've found is when we lost $16 billion to our property tax base, back in 2015, that meant everybody else had to pick up that proportionate share of tax revenue that $16 billion created, which meant significant tax increases to the tax bill of smaller business, strip malls, the Chinook Shopping Center, for example, their tax bill went up, and it just made us less competitive. So you can talk all you want about how great it is to have this wonderful downtown, but at a very crass level for a municipality, it's all about your financial sustainability. It's very much a revenue source that if you do not tend to it, if you do not make investments into it and plan for its future, your whole city's municipal sustainment is at risk.
Eric, is there anything you want to add to why it's necessary to diversify and grow and create that rich fabric within downtown urban communities?
Yes, Susan, it's certainly a good point, and Tom, you elaborated on it in terms of the need to have a mixture of uses in a community, certainly a urban center. It's compact, walkable, complete, if you will, jobs, amenities, service, transit, and everything else that is in the same area. I would take a little bit of a contrarian point to a certain extent. There is such thing as perhaps too much of a good thing, where there can be a situation where if you allow just residential everywhere in some locations, it would actually displace commercial activity, which be given the land values and other aspects of it. So that's one reason why, for example, at the Metro Vancouver, we have a land use designation for industrial, protected for industrial uses exclusively, one for employment, for those types of uses as well. And then we have lands that are general urban, for example, for other types of activities. So again, back to, for example, a downtown core, and I know in the city of Vancouver, a number of years ago, there were a lot of condo applications for residential projects to the point where there would have outbid possibly office sites for new development. And I think in order to have, economy is being perhaps front and center for urban core, especially a downtown scale one, we want to make sure that that's not disrupted. And I also know that there's a lot of interest in mixed use projects. And again, I don't want it to sound like I'm taking away from the merits of that, but there are also some cases where certainly large corporate tenants do want to have a standalone corporate office building and not share it in terms of with the residential component or hotel or other types of activities. So there's certainly some both sides of the equation here that have to be considered. And that's why planning and development and city building has different perspectives and different ingredients to make it as good as possible at the local scale.
What do you think is the most critical next step in improving the vibrancy of your city? So Tom, we'll let you go first, and then Eric, you can follow up. But, and I know they're probably different, but there could be some overlap. So next steps, what is critical in this urban revitalization conversation pathway that we're on?
So in our particular case in Calgary, the critical next step is execution. We've done all the, we started talking about downtown revitalization and downtown transformation back in 2014, and it's now 2024 pretty soon. Enough talking, enough planning, enough strategizing, please just execute. And so what the cities, that's why you see our council investing the capital. We're heavily into project execution mode. While we still have a view to, longer term strategic trends, we want to keep our pulse on those. A lot of it in the short term is really getting done what we said we were going to do, and keeping our foot on the accelerator to make sure we are committed to achieving the results that we stated at the outset.
Eric, what do you think are the next steps for Metro Vancouver?
Certainly there is some strengths, many strengths, in fact, of the downtown Vancouver core. And I think with any case, we want to build on those. So it already has desirable in terms of amenities of many sorts, good transit service, a healthy office stock, a diversity of employment types, certainly supplemented by a lot of activity from the tourism sector as well. Not that those tourists are coming to Vancouver to work in office buildings while they're here, but they're still bringing economic activity where they're here. And, the question might be relevant to some of the other markets in our region is how can urban centers and office developments in other parts of Metro Vancouver supplement or complement the downtown Vancouver node rather than look at it in a competing kind of way or either or. So there's some types of tenants and some types of businesses that are quite appropriate and they're going to be in downtown Vancouver. And the alternative to that is Seattle or San Francisco, not some other part of Metro Vancouver. And then there's other types of tenants who say, well, I'm not necessarily wanting to pay top dollar for a AAA office space. I don't need to be in downtown Vancouver, downtown Surrey, Coquitlam City Center, downtown Richmond, or other locations are appropriate for them. And the question would be, well, what can those communities do at that scale, at their location, to enhance the attractiveness and viability of office developments in those locations?
Fascinating conversation on the future of downtowns and how they're evolving, the planning and consideration that goes into all of the parts that make up the fabric of what we think of as a downtown. That's all the time we have for this episode of Collier's Talks. A very special thank you to our guests, Tom Mahler from the City of Calgary and Eric Adarnack from Metro Vancouver. It's been a pleasure discussing these topics around urban regeneration in Vancouver and Calgary. And thanks to our audience who joined us for this episode. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Colliers Talks podcast. To learn more about Colliers Canada, our experts, and our solutions, visit collierscanada.com or find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook.